Good morning. That sounds okay, I think. I wasn't sure about the volume on this one. I'm supposed to run the soundboard, so I couldn't do both. But good morning and welcome, welcome. It is time for hymn sing. I was a little late getting ready. We're going to start with number 600. That's 600, Wonderful Words of Life. And we'll sing verses 1 and 3. And we have another one? 348, first and last verses. 348, I'm almost there. Softly and tenderly, first and fourth verses. 348. Okay, Pastor, you're going to help out with this one. We're going to sing God is So Good.
Prayer, he answers prayer, he's so good. so, He loves me so.
He loves me so. He loves me so. He loves me so. He's so good to me.
Thank you, and thank you, Pastor. And I think we have time for one more.
Yes.
Go ahead, Trudy.
367.
367. He touched me, and there's two verses, one and two. 367. Everyone, thank you, and we'll continue with our service.
Thank you, Dorothy. Good morning and welcome to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa. It's great to see everybody here today on a cooler morning than we've had lately, so it's nice to get a little change from the weather. Just a few announcements. So if you please remember to sign in on the red pew pads and make sure that you use the individual sheets first before the full pages. And there's also blue prayer cards in front of you. If you have any prayer requests, please fill those out and take them to the narthex when you leave. Want to extend the happy birthday wishes to those September birthday folks, as you can see on the list in front of you. Today's adult discussion class is at 11 o'clock today, and they'll be talking about Lee Strobel's The Case for Faith. The film is 79 minutes long, so everyone is welcome, but you might want to bring a lunch or some snacks with you. And Deb says there's a lot of good talking subjects as part of this film today, so it should be an interesting event. If you're interested in reading and you would like to join our book club, the next meeting will be September 17th at 10 a.m. The meeting will take place in the Camellia Room, and it is also available for you to join on Zoom. And this week's or this month's book is Once Upon a Wardrobe by Patty Callahan. And then you can see the other two, the next two coming months, October and November, the books that they have planned for those 2 months. And it's Christmas in September. Please pick up your Samaritan's Purse Christmas shoebox for children. They're available in the fellowship hall today. There'll be a suggestion list for boys and girls gifts for the age groups of 2 to 4 years, 5 to 9 years, and 10 to 14 years. And also please include a $10 cash donation in each box to cover the cost for distribution. And remember that the boxes are due November 3rd. If you'll now join me by standing and join me in the call to worship. Trust in the Lord and do good, so you will dwell in the land and enjoy security. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act.
Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him.
And if you'll remain standing for our opening hymn, number 156, I Love to Tell the Story.
Will be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story, 'tis pleasant to repeat. What seems each time I tell it, more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I'd love to tell the story, will be my theme in glory, to tell the old story of Jesus and his love.
And while we're all still standing, let's please share the peace of Christ with each other.
Let's welcome all those who have joined us via Zoom. Welcome, June and Joyce. Always good to see you. And Bill and April are on Zoom. And Helen is there with us. I don't know, Helen, turn off the video. But anyway, so good to see you, Helen. And welcome, Chris. And who else? I thought we have, yeah, we have George. George, welcome.
All right, it's now time for the sharing of our joys and concerns. If you have something to share, raise your hand and Deb will give you the mic.
Good morning. It's been an interesting week for us. Because of the fire, her family that lives in Highland, right near where the fire started, evacuated. And in our mobile home now, we now have six humans and Sophie. It makes for some interesting living requirements. Sophie is so glad to be back in church this week. She couldn't come last week because of all the smoke. And I want to say hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, all the prayers. We got We knew last Sunday that she was going to have her surgery on Thursday of this past week. They said they would call on at the first part of the week and notify us what time to be there. So it got to be Tuesday, and we hadn't heard, and I told her, I said, well, I'll give them until 3 o'clock, then we're going to call. About noon, the phone rang, and they said, be there around 7:15. You're going to be the first in line. So we got there, and you have to sign the consent forms and all that stuff. And he says, okay, we're doing your left and right eye. And she says, no. She says, just my right eye. No, they said, Dr. Rimmer has put a handwritten note in here that he wants both of your eyes done because you've been through so much, he doesn't want you to have to come back again. So she got waited on right away, and he lasered both eyes, and he told us part of the reason where she hasn't had any vision out of that right eye is that UCLA, who's supposed to be the best in the country for this treatment, either the dosage on the plank that they put in her eye was too much radiation, or they left it in too long and it burned the inside of her eye. Oh, wow. So her eye was full of scar tissue inside. And he knew there was nothing like that in her other eye, but it needed to be cleaned out, so he just did them both. We were on the way home from the surgery center, and he told us it should be getting better. By Monday, which is tomorrow of this week, it'll be at its highest point. So we were on the way home, and we were driving probably about a mile away from the surgery center on a residential street. And she says, oh, there's a red vehicle up ahead. It looks like it's coming at us because, you know, I can see the lights. And I says, well, it's not coming at us. It's parked over the wrong way, facing towards us. But I said, that's great. You can tell what color it is, and you can tell it's a vehicle up there. And she says, oh, this is wonderful. So we continued on home, and she got home, and of course Sophie was all excited, and we had the TV on, and she started reading the things on the TV screen, which wow, she couldn't do before. And she was saying, oh, it says KTLA 5 News, da-da-da-da-da, and she's reading it like a trooper, and we got so excited. Later that night, I had to get up during the middle of the night and go to the bathroom, and our clock is past the foot of the bed. And so when I came back, she says, 3:31. And I thought, what's she saying? And then she said it again, 3:31. I got it. She could see what time it was on the clock. So they said that by tomorrow now, that's going to be the apex of her vision. But I says, well, even if the... you just keep what you got now. It's wonderful. So thank you, praise thank God. You, thank you. Praise God.
Amen. 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 That's why she wanted to sing God is so good this
That's
morning.
Right.
Amen.
It's been a long year.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I've got a lot of friends. There's a lot of churches in New Kaipa.
The whole town is praying for you.
That's the power of prayer.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
I think we want to remember these three fires in this area. There's over 8,600 people working them. That's just these three. And of course, as you go up north, like pretty much the whole state of Idaho and Washington and Oregon is on fire. There are thousands of people out there that are, you know, putting their lives on the line and occasionally giving their life quietly just to protect life and property, you know. No greater love has any man, right, than to give their life for their friends, you know. So. I think we want to keep all those firefighters in our prayers.
Yep.
Thank you.
I saw the whole troop of firefighters going their way on Brian this morning from the San Bernardino Firefighter Department. Pray for them. Yes.
I'm Trudy Baird, and one of my friends that I have breakfast in the morning sometimes with, her name is Joanne or Jonelle Guzman, and she just had a stroke. That's why I didn't make it to the lunch. I was there at the hospital with her. She seems to be coming back pretty good. Her whole right side went, but she's full of, you know what, to get it done. And she was a black belt. She's something like 87. She's been trying to do her exercises for the black belt, for the karate, and amazing woman. And I know she'll get back some of it. So pray for her.
What's your name again?
Jonelle.
Jonelle. Okay, thank you.
Hello, everybody. Well, last week I introduced my family. My son and daughter-in-law were married here. Excuse me. And soon to be my granddaughter and her fiance. Last time my father attended church was here, and like I told you then, I realized the history, how this is becoming my family's home. So what I've done, this is truly my home forever, forever. And so what I've done is I'm having a memorial brick put out in our memorial garden for my son, Jeff. I lost him by a car accident when he was 20 years old. And I was thinking, you know, I'd like to have his name, our names together out here in the memorial garden. So I just wanted to tell everybody.
Very nice. Very nice.
That's a wonderful idea.
Yes.
In other words, Claudia, you're stuck with us.
Good morning. My name's Pat Shores. I have a couple of joys and then some concerns, but I'll start with the joys. Allison and I got to go down yesterday to see the Emily and her twin daughters, and the kids are just getting more involved in everything. They're just up and running around, and it's just so much fun to go down there and spend the afternoon with them. So that was a joy. Second joy was yesterday morning. My nephew Paul, who lives in Las Vegas, he called me and wanted to take me to lunch, and so he came and picked me up, and I said, well, do you want to go see Allison? And, you know, she's right here in town. So we zipped over to Allison's first, and he invited her to go. And, of course, it's so difficult for her. She has to, you know, go in a wheelchair and this and that and everything. And she said she declined the lunch. But anyway, he and I went to lunch, and it was very nice. So those are the two nice things. And my concerns are, part of the reason Paul was here is his father, Doug, who lives out in Banning, he had fallen, and he apparently now has dementia, and he doesn't really know where he's at. I mean, I think he's down at some place near the Redlands Hospital he's supposed to be there for 4 weeks, but he doesn't like it. He wants to be at home. Apparently, he's not going to be allowed to ever go home by himself. And anyway, he's very upset about everything. But besides Doug, my sister Jean, my niece, Stephanie, she invited Allison and I down for dinner one day last week. We got there, and her mother Jean, my sister, was there, and there was Emily's husband. Stephanie has just recently gotten married, and her husband's family was there too, and there were two tables, and one table was for four, and so Jean and I and Allison and Stephanie sat at one little table, and then her husband and his sister, and I think it was his nephew or somebody. Anyway, there was his. It was all his family on one little table, and our little family, because there were two small tables. But anyway, we had a nice dinner, and it was nice to meet Stephanie's husband and his family. So those were the nice things. And then the bad things are is. I thought Jean seemed sort of odd when we were there, and she didn't hardly say anything, and she seemed to be kind of having trouble walking or whatever. And so I said something the next day to I called my sister Karen, and I said, gosh, Jean seemed really odd. And she said, oh, well, don't you know, she's got cancer. And I said, well, no, of course nobody bothered to tell me that. And apparently she's in pain, and I don't know what her prognosis is, but she was supposed to go in and have some sort of a scan, and for whatever reason, they couldn't do it, so she didn't get it done. And so I need prayers for almost all my family, I just appreciate it if you pray for them. You need to pray for Jean and for Doug and for, I don't know who else, Allison and Bill, yes, so thank you.
Everybody in the family.
And I would like to welcome Helena, to our church.
Welcome, Helena. And also, Dorothy, so good to see you today. Your music's always beautiful.
Is there anyone on Zoom? Please raise your hand and unmute.
It is now time for our unison prayer. If you'll please join me, this is the three things we pray. Here we go. Thanks be to thee, O Lord Jesus Christ, for all the benefits which thou hast given us, for all the pains and insults which thou hast borne for us, O most merciful Redeemer, friend and brother. May we know thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, and follow thee more nearly. For thine own sake. Amen.
Let us continue our prayers in silence. We have many things to be thankful for the amazing answers to our prayers. We have many people that God has place in our life, and we want to lift up our prayer for them, especially let us pray for the firefighters. Dear Lord Jesus, you know us individually all together. You know our life journey. You know where we are. You know our pain. You know our need. And you know what we've been carrying in our hearts and in our lives. You know all the burdens of life altogether. You know the need of our loved ones. You know the need of our communities, of this church, of this world. So we come before you, laying out before you our need. We humbly submit ourselves to you and to your power and ask you to fulfill your will by using us, by using the hands of all those people
who have committed to serve you in various places. We believe, O Lord, that everything works together for all those who put their trust in you. You use every circumstance to turn around, to work for them. And we have experienced it over and over. So Lord, wherever we are, we know that you are in our life. You have been so faithful. You have been guiding our step all along. And that's why we are here, Lord. By your provision, by your protection, by your guidance, by your grace, we have come this far. And we will continue on. So, Lord, as we worship you this morning, our hearts are open unto you, unto the movement of your Holy Spirit, that you may come in and touch us, heal us, empower us, encourage us, and give us the vision for the future. So we worship you with thanksgiving, and we once more submit ourselves to you and to your will, and pray that you fulfill your wonderful and perfect will in our lives, in this church, in our communities, and in this world today. So now we join our hearts and prayers together, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Now time for our Young at Hearts moments.
Today's story is The Fish Who Found the Sea. Written by Alan Watts, illustrated by Koa Lee. Once upon a time, there was a fish who lived in the great sea. And because he was just an ordinary fish who had never known anything outside the great sea, he was not really aware that he was in it. He swam up and down and around without ever noticing that he was moving through the water, for the water was transparent. Wherever he moved, it got out of the way of his nose and yet gave him something against which he could push with his tail and move himself along. Without it, he could neither swim nor live, but for all he knew, he might just as well have been moving in empty space. Then one day, something peculiar happened to him. He began to think how curious it was that he could swim, for here he was moving up and down and around in the midst of nothing at all by his own power. This, he thought, was surely very clever of himself. Then something else happened. You know how it is when you start thinking about something you do automatically, such as breathing or riding a bike, and you begin to get confused. It was the same for this fish. He began to get confused in his swimming. Looking down into waters below him, he was suddenly terrified at the thought that he might forget how to swim altogether and go plunging forever into the darkness. At that moment, all his skill at swimming left him, and he began to fall. He realized then that there was just one chance of saving himself: to grab his own tail with his mouth and hold himself up. At once he curled up and made a snap at his tail. Unfortunately, his spine was not quite supple enough. He missed. Not yet discouraged, he tried again and again with the same result, so that for some time he whizzed around in circles in pursuit of his own end. The faster he chased his tail, the faster it moved away. This had been going on for some time when he began to realize that he was not getting anywhere, that his life was becoming dull, meaningless, and horribly monotonous. But he was much too frightened to stop. The fish was sure that if he relaxed the chase for a moment, he would plunge headlong into the abyss, so he redoubled his efforts to save himself in spite of the fact that he became more and more tired and disgusted every minute. Soon he saw that he was in a hideous dilemma. He must either fall into the abyss or go on chasing his tail. Both alternatives were equally horrifying. He waved his fins in panic and prepared to die. In the meantime, the great sea had been watching this extraordinary behavior with mixed feelings of amusement and sorrow, for the great sea was as loving as it was vast. It gave all the creatures of the deep room to live and swim around. It never intruded upon them, always retiring generously before their noses and letting itself be pushed by their tails so they could move along. Still more, the great sea always surrounded them in such a way that it bore them up, made itself transparent so that they could see where they were going and enjoy all the wonders of the deep. Yet here was a crazy fish who thought he swam all by himself, who had gotten himself into a panic and was behaving as no fish should behave. Therefore, the great sea called out to the unhappy fish and asked him, "What do you think you're doing?" To which the fish replied, "I'm trying to catch hold of my tail and save myself from falling." "You have been doing that for a long time," observed the great sea, "and you are no nearer to catching it than when you started. So why haven't you fallen yet?" "Don't bother me," retorted the fish. "Can't you see I'm busy?" "That's just what I can see," the great sea went on patiently, "but apparently you can't. You haven't caught your tail, you haven't fallen into the abyss, and yet you are still busy. How come?" "Oh, don't be stupid," snapped the fish. "Of course I haven't fallen down because I'm swimming." "You may well say goodness," said the great sea, "for how does it happen that you have stayed afloat and been able to swim during all of this absurd performance?" This was too much for the fish. He stopped his chase and looked around to see who was talking to him. There was no one to be seen. It was strange, but although he wasn't doing anything himself, he was still floating in the water, though it seemed to him as if he were suspended in empty space by some invisible force. "There now," continued the great sea, "you thought you were doing it all by yourself, and you never knew that I hold you up all the time. For I have given all of myself to you, and yet you have forgotten me and wasted yourself in pursuing your own end. For it is in me that you live and swim and are able to be a fish. And to you I have given the height and depth and the length and breadth of myself in which to swim." From that moment, the fish was happier than any other fish in all the waters of the world. Setting his own end behind him, where it belonged, he set out to explore the ends of the sea. And he found that whether he moved up or down, to the left or the right, everywhere the great sea expanded before him and supported him, so much that he swooped and climbed and danced in joy, a creature in his true element, out of himself and into the sea, where indeed he had been all the time. While we may not see God, he is always around us, in the air that we breathe and guiding our path. May we be fully aware of his presence and breathe deep. Amen.
Our next hymn is number 397, "I Need Thee Every Hour."
Like thine,
Our scripture reading today is from the Old Testament, Jeremiah, chapter 29, verses 1 through 14. Jeremiah's letter to the exiles in Babylon. These are the words of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the remaining elders among the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jeconiah and the queen mother, the court officials, the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, the artisans and the smiths had departed from Jerusalem. The letter was sent by the hand of Elasa, son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, son of Hilkiah, whom King Zedekiah of Judah sent to Babylon to King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. It said, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let the prophets and the diviners who are among you deceive you. And do not listen to your dreams that you dream. For it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, only when Babylon's 70 years are completed will I visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord. and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. The word of God for the people of God.
Good morning, everyone. So good to see you here in this beautiful sanctuary. I pray that each of us will have a visit from the Lord this morning in many different ways as God speak to us and walk through the Holy Spirit for us this morning. Once upon a time, the U.S. government had a vast scrap yard in the middle of a desert. Congress said, someone may steal from it at night. So they created a night watchman position and hired a person for the job. Then Congress said, how does the watchman do his job without instruction? So they created a planning department and hired two people, one person to write the instructions and one person to carry out time studies. Then Congress said, how will we know the night watchman is doing his job properly? So they created a quality control department and hired two people, one to do the studies and the other to write the report. Then Congress said, how are these people going to get paid? So they created positions for the time for a timekeeper and a payroll officer, then hired two people. Then Congress said, who will be accountable for all these people? So they created an administrative section and hired three people, an administrative officer, an assistant administrative officer, and a legal secretary. Then Congress said, we have had this command in operation for 1 year, and we are $80,000 over budget. We must cut back on the payroll overall cost. So they laid off the night watchman. Brainstorming is a wise method for research and planning. But no matter how many brains are put together, human planning is prone to have downsides. That is why it is best always to devise a backup plan. Is there such a plan as perfect? The Bible says God is the perfect planner. Not only does God have a perfect knowledge of everything, but he also has the power to carry out his plan. What he plans, he accomplishes. There is no such thing as failure in God's dictionary. But during challenging times, we question God's plan in our lives. Why am I here today undergoing pain? Has God planned my life well? Israeli exile would have asked these kind of questions in Babylon. We will reflect upon God's plan as we study the prophet Jeremiah. The prophet Jeremiah is the author of the book of Jeremiah and the book of Lamentations. The book of Jeremiah is a collection of Jeremiah's oracles about God's imminent judgment upon Judah, the southern kingdom of Israel, for its continued idolatry. The northern kingdom of Israel was long gone for the same reason. Jeremiah lived through the destruction of Solomon's temple in Jerusalem and the complete collapse of Judah in 587 or 586 BC. The Book of Lamentations describes the terrible condition of destruction and how Jeremiah felt about it. Solomon built the beautiful Jerusalem temple, the spiritual center for Jews, but the Babylonians subjugated Judah, demolished the glorious temple, and took all the temple utensils along with so many people to Babylon. Jeremiah was brokenhearted and wept over the misery of God's chastisement. It is why Jeremiah is often portrayed as a weeping prophet. Chapter 9 that we just read was Jeremiah's letter to the exiles in Babylon. What would you expect from the letter of a weeping prophet after the destruction of Jerusalem? Jeremiah prophesied against the sins of Judah. God's judgment came upon the nation. The exiles were now paying the price for Judah's sin, living in a foreign land. The letter's content would have been something like, "See what happened to you? I told you so." Contrarily, Jeremiah delivered the message of hope and a future from God. Let's hear the key points of Jeremiah's letter again. "Build houses, live in them, plant gardens, and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage. Multiply there, do not decrease. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will pray to me, I will hear you. You will seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all nations and all the places where I have driven you." In the very place of misery, God, through Jeremiah, said, "Your life is not over yet. You may not like where you are, but it is part of your journey that I plan. So continue to build and enjoy life where you are, and better days are coming." Even though Israel sinned and God punished the people, God did not abandon them. God still cared for them and was deeply involved in their lives. The prophet Jeremiah is just one of many other prophets that God sent to the exile. Ezekiel lived among the exiles and spoke of the restoration of the fortunes of Israel. Daniel became a counselor to kings in Babylon and a protector of his people. Obadiah encouraged Judah during the Babylonian captivity. After the Babylonian captivity, the minor prophets such as Zechariah, Nehemiah, Ezra, Haggai, Joel, and Malachi administered the rebuilding of Jerusalem and preached the message of hope to them. The people still lived in Babylon after its empire collapsed. As a Persian queen, Esther saved Israel on the verge of her race being wiped out. So if you look at carefully, major part of the Old Testament covers the Babylonian captivity and the post-exilic period, evidently stating God's continued intervention in the exiles and the descendant of exile even after the nation of Israel ceased to exist. Now, the scriptures give many analogies of our life journey. Life can be compared with Israel's journey in the Sinai Desert, constantly in need of food and shelter, or traveling through the storm in the Sea of Galilee. Exiles also accurately describe how our life runs down here. The earth is not our home. We live down here temporarily as exiles. We often feel just like exile, therefore, being misplaced or displaced. Jeremiah's letter to the Babylonian exile can be understood as God's letter to you and I living here on this earth as exiles. As an exile, we often get discouraged and feel like God's help is far away. But listen to what God said through Jeremiah. God has plans for us, plans to prosper us, not to harm us, plans to give us hope and a future. According to J.B. Tidwell, the Babylonian exile did a lot of good to the people. Israel got into trouble because of idolatry, but you know what happened when they went into exile? They gave up idolatry completely during the exile period. That's the first time that have ever happened to the people of Israel. They finally stopped worshiping idols during the exile period. To preserve tradition and faith in the foreign land, books of prophets were written during the time. Away from home, the people needed place of worship and established synagogues. Before that time, they only had a temple to go to worship God. But now in Babylonia, in Babylon, they made this place of worship called synagogues. Their faith in God used to be a formal and superficial ritualism, but during the exile period, it became personal. God's presence became more evident to them. We may think of the present circumstance as off track, but God uses the present circumstance for our good and still runs the course of our lives according to His perfect plan. Our life as an exile here on earth can be illustrated by how water in the river runs. Sometimes it goes through a quiet stage with no ripple. Then suddenly it slides very fast on the steep slope. Sometimes the passage is straight, but then it curves left and right unexpectedly. It never stays still, but always moves to a new situation. The movie A River Runs Through portrays this nature of life very well. I shared this summary of the movie before, but now I'm going to use the summary done by Pastor Brian Wilkerson, and he shared it as follows. The movie told the story of the McLean family who lived in Montana early in the 20th century. The father of the family was a Presbyterian minister, stern but loving. His wife was supportive and nurturing. They had two sons, the oldest, firstborn Norman, who tells the story, and a younger son, Paul. The real protagonist in the story is the river that runs through their part of Montana. That river becomes a focal point of their family life and the catalyst for everything significant that takes place in their individual life. It was walking along the bank of that river on Sunday afternoons that the father forged a relationship with his young boys. turning over rocks, teaching them about the world, about life, and about God who made it all. It was the river that the boys ran to after their studies were over. And sibling rivalry and brotherly affection flourished as they fished for trout together on that beautiful stream. When it came time for these adolescent boys to prove their strength, they took a death-defying ride down the rapids on a stolen boat. It was on the river that young Paul made a name for himself as the finest flying fisherman in the territory. When Norman came back from college searching for himself and his roots, it was to the river that he went to fish alongside his brother. McLean family knew failures and success and laughter and fighting and change and disappointment. But always the river was there. It was the defining force and the spiritual center of that family. Montana would have been just a wilderness, their home, four walls and a roof, their individual life just rigorous and fury, if not for the river runs through it all. Going through various stages of life during which we can feel lost. But going through those different stages of life, flowing through the river, we can identify ourselves as exiles going through the river as well. Look at what happened in our past. We went through turbulences and steep curves. We might have thought the end was near, but we survived by God's grace. Our trouble is still ongoing. Look at where we are today. Our world is going through even more considerable turmoil than we experienced before. If we put our lives in perspective, there is a river that runs through. The river is God's plan for our lives. No matter how we feel about our current circumstances, God is safely running the course according to His plan for us, blessing us and giving us hope and a future. Amen.
It is now time for the presentation of our tithes and offerings. You can drop your offerings off as you leave the church or bring them to the office. We'll now have music by Dorothy. Thank you.
reach as he below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power of leaves. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit.
Lord Jesus Christ, you gave your whole self for our redemption. As we stand before you this morning, we acknowledge that you are the source of our strength, you are the source of all the blessings, and you have filled our lives with your presence that we may continue on. So we can acknowledge what you have done for us. We acknowledge the blessings we have received from you. And we bless you, O Lord, as we give this thanksgiving. And we ask you to bless it, that it may be used to build your kingdom in the world today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Our closing hymn is number 128, He Leadeth Me.
As we leave this place of worship, we acknowledge that it was your hand that have guided us this far. It is by your hand you will continue to lead us on. So, Lord, we entrust every cares, every plan we have into your hand. Fulfill your will upon our lives, that your name may be glorified. And Lord, give us this heart to trust in your guidance, that whatever we do, we may trust all our cares into your hand, moving along with the strength that we always find in you. So therefore, send us forth in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
never be afraid. God will go with you each hour, every day. Go now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true. Know He will guide you in all you do. Go now in love and show you believe. Reach out to others so all the world can see. God